Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Now back to Orlando and Sandy on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
We are now joined by former Denver Bronco offensive lineman Zane Beatles. Zane, thank you for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. So you come into Denver as a rookie. The Broncos, they weren't very good, and then suddenly you were very successful within a few years, and a large part of that was the offensive line. What do you remember about that offensive line, and from when you came in to when you guys kind of got to 2013 and were super successful?
We had a couple older guys in the room that kind of knew what they were doing, but we also had a lot of young guys that were good football players and didn't know any better, and we all got along really well and had fun. We cared about each other. Personally, you know, we got to know each other's families and all that kind of stuff. And it really grew into something cool and special pretty quickly. It was a fun few years, that's for sure.
Zane, you never got an opportunity to play for Mike Shanahan, but you've been around a lot of people that have played for Mike Shanahan. I know that you were a part of the Josh McDaniels experiment. I mean, when he got here, when you first got here. But what were your thoughts when you heard that Mike Shanahan was being inducted to the Ring of Fame for the Denver Broncos?
Very deserving. His history speaks for himself. Those older guys that I spoke about when I first got there to Denver were just a couple years removed, not even 2 years removed from his tenure there with the Broncos. And so a lot of stories were told about that time and the way things operated and the type of coach and the type of man that he was. So I by proxy had a ton of respect for him. And then actually had a year with Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. So I know he's different than his dad, but I'm sure has a lot of similarities and learned a lot from him, and was just very impressed by him as a coach too.
Zane, you came to the Broncos in 2010. Josh McDaniels drafted you. I've always contended it's one of the most underrated draft class the Broncos have ever had. It was Demaryius Thomas, Tim Tebow, you, J.D. Walton, and Eric Decker were like the first five guys drafted. When you came in that draft class, did you know how talented you really were as a rookie class?
No, definitely did not. Being young and coming from college, you don't really know what the pro game is all about and what it is. And really in your own mind, you're just there trying to make an impact and make the roster and be the best player that you can be. I think as time went on, obviously you could see that class was talented, and there were a number of guys on that in that draft that had good long careers and were pretty successful in the league. And it was a great group of guys, great talent, and would have loved to be able to stay together a little bit longer, but that's the way it goes in the league. You know, it's the parity and the competition that is from top to bottom in the league makes that not possible.
Yeah, I want to dive into that more because I blame you. I've never told you this, but I blame you for rerouting my career because while we were teammates, you played left guard. And my first 3 years in the NFL, I played right tackle. But then after we make that Super Bowl run and after everything is all the dust settles, you end up going to Jacksonville. What happened there, Zane? Was there an offer on the table from the Broncos? Or did you look at the offer and say, well, I don't want to do that and screw Orlando, let him go play left guard?
the thought of making Orlando go play left guard was definitely something in my mind that I wanted to, if I could make it work, make that happen. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I never really got a serious offer from Denver in that free agency period. You know, my agent had been talking to them for some time before that, even before that last season. And I think just the front office had to make some decisions on the priorities that they wanted to focus on and where they wanted to put money. I was not included in that list. So, you know, I have a ton of respect for them. They didn't want to offer me a low ball offer and set my market low. So, you know, personally and for my family and our lives, I appreciate that from them. You know, I love the city of Denver and up until that point, I thought I was going to be there for my entire career. And, that was definitely a learning moment for me and how the NFL works. You know, like I said, that parity and which I believe is one of the best things about the NFL is, that hard salary cap makes teams make hard decisions, and it keeps the competition from top to bottom in the league very similar, and the competition is very high throughout the league, and I think is a reason why the league has had success for so long.
So we're joined right now by former Denver Broncos offensive lineman Zane Beadles. Zane, I always like to ask people that were there the year with Tim Tebow, 2008, the year where everything kind of turned around and the Broncos became relevant again. What was it like that year playing in those tight games with these really crazy finishes and then ultimately getting to the divisional round of the playoffs?
Man, that year was insane. you know, we start out that year, which was Orlando's rookie year.
Oh, yeah.
So that was his introduction to the NFL.
Surprise, this is real football.
Yeah, yeah, welcome. you know, I think we started that season 1-4, I believe. Things not going well, carrying over from the season before that was abysmal. And made the change, and Tim came in as a quarterback. And all of a sudden, you know, we start winning games. I don't think it was just Tim. Tim's a great football player and a great leader. But, you know, I think things just started to click a little bit for the team as a whole. The defense that we had that year was phenomenal. You know, you go look back at some of those games, and we did nothing offensively for 56 minutes of the game. And our defense was able to keep us close and keep us in game so that we had an opportunity at the end to tie it up and go into overtime, or for us to get in field goal position and Matt Prater to hit a field goal as time expired to win the game, or whatever it may be. But, you know, it just started rolling. And I think we went on a 6-game win streak, if I remember right, that season. And, you know, it started to become very fun, but man, it was some insane football. We were winning and running things that not many NFL teams did or still do. You know, I remember some of those games that season having 9-10 defenders in the box, and we're coming off the sideline and like,
can you throw the football? Can you throw the football?
Yeah, can we throw it downfield a couple of times? That would be nice. You know, but coming off and telling the O-line coach, like, what do you want us to do? They have more guys than we can block. And he's shaking his head and just saying, I don't know. You just got to get it done. And we did for a lot of that season, which really propelled us into those next 2 years that I was there as well, I think.
Yeah, that's what I want you to touch on a little bit more, Zane, because, you know, even in 2010, right, the your rookie year, that offensive line, you still got some really good pieces in play, right? You know, Ryan Clady, you're there. Zane, JD's there. Coop's there. Ryan Harris is there as well. I know Ryan got banged up, but you got some really good pieces. And then after that, you know, that 2011 year, the Tebow mania, and it really propels the next couple years. You've been a part of some really good offensive lines here when you played here for the Denver Broncos. And I just want to know, what are your thoughts on the offensive line right now? They just spent some money on Graham Glasgow. They just drafted a young center out of LSU and Cushenberry. We got a young stud in Dalton Risner. But it seems like they're still so much further away than where you were when you walked in the league in 2010. So what are your thoughts on this offensive line?
You know, I guess time will tell. I think the offensive line, you know, since you and I were in Denver, Orlando, has kind of been in flux, you know, and trying to find some pieces and some combinations that really worked well and were solid and consistent. And, you know, as an offensive line, that's really the number one thing that I think you want is consistency and knowing what you're going to get from that offensive line week in and week out. And that's a tough thing to do with five different people that need to be on the same page and working together at all times. You know, I think the game of football is changing a little bit too. It was when you and I were coming out of college, even with the spread offenses and some different things. But the offensive line play, I think, is just different in the college game than it is in the pro game. And I don't know if guys are as well prepared now to make that transition and to play the faster, more physical style of NFL football than what is in college. So, you know, I think the learning curve might be a little bit steeper and take a little bit longer maybe than it previously did in years past. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. You know, I hope they the Denver offensive line, you know, for so long in the franchise's history has been such a solid piece. And has a great tradition, and I hope that the franchise and the team in general is able to get back to that.
You know, Zane, when you're answering that question, a lot of it is relaying back to like continuity and the repetitions and really understanding guys that are next to you. And during this time, during this pandemic, you know, not having OTAs, not having minicamp, you know, is that going to be enough for this offensive line that they just have a great offensive line coach? Or do you anticipate it taking a lot of time and you seeing them and us seeing them struggle because of not having OTAs and not having mini camps and things like that?
I definitely think that's going to be a factor. You know, reps are key, and reps with the same people over and over and over again. You know, guys need to be healthy and guys need to be at practice and you need to play next to each other. And get beat and see some problems and talk through it. And, you know, what did you see? What did I see? Here's next time if we see this look, let's try this, you know, and you just tweak things. And eventually you get into a point to where, you know, the communication isn't even verbal, you know, it's all in your mind and you know exactly what the guy next to you is going to do in any given situation. And when you get to that point, you know, things can become pretty special for an offensive line. I also think, you know, I at the beginning of our conversation here, I talked about how close our offensive line group was as guys and caring about each other in life. And that's such a huge piece that I think gets overlooked by a lot of people, front offices, fans, a lot of people that really don't, you know, aren't those guys in that room or yeah, on that line with their hands in the dirt, and how big of a important piece that is. And it takes a lot of work too. You know, it's not something that just happens. You know, you need to have some leaders in that group that are want that to be the case and put in the time and effort to make that happen and create that culture within the room.
It's Zane Beatles, former Broncos offensive lineman. Zane, last one for you. I've got to ask it. You're in your second year. You play an offensive line. And this rookie from the University of Miami rolls in. What were you thinking when you first met and saw Orlando Franklin?
I'll tell you what he was thinking. First of all, Zane barely talked to me, literally. Okay. When I came into that room, everybody was like, well, who's this guy? Like, screw you. Like, go sit down, rookie. Like literally, these guys literally, I felt like I was the odd person out. But my personality is so big that I just would force myself in and just keep on talking. And they used to find me every single day. And I would be so sensitive about every fine. But I was like, hey, you guys are going to be my friend. You guys are going to, we're going to be friends or we're going to be best friends.
We definitely were a little hard on O. And, you know, I was only in my second year, obviously, and had just gone through that rookie year myself. You know, so it was my opportunity now to be one of the guys in the room.
The bully,
making
just
a little bit harder.
You're a bully,
a little
and a
bit
rookie.
Harder on. Here's my deal with that. You know, I am a full believer that rookies have duties and that guys need to pave their way and earn their stripes and earn their spots. I think there's a fine line that should never be crossed with that. But it takes a lot of work and it takes time and effort to get to a certain point in the league, and you got to earn your stripes. Every rookie's got to go through that. And it builds. I think, Orlando, you would agree with this. When you're in it, in the moment, maybe it doesn't feel like it should be going the way it is, or it's the right thing. It's annoying, whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, I think it builds a great bond in that room.
Yeah.
And you respect each other a lot more. And it turns into a beautiful thing that may not look like it at the time.
It's a rite of passage at the end of the day when you see guys.
It is.
And you heard that they had to do it. That was my issue. When they were telling me, hey, you do this or you got to do this, I was like, well, did they do it? And when they're like, yeah, I was like, all right, okay, I'll do it then. But that's where I used to get it. I was just always checking, like, you guys are not trying to make this up on me, but you're absolutely right. Zane, thanks a lot, buddy. We really appreciate you jumping on with us today.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
Zane Beatles, former Denver Broncos offensive lineman.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors, get everything you want out of a dealership.